Welcome to Issues and Ideas.
Without a CPAS-like program, a lot of these seniors would end up in skilled nursing care 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and clearly much more expensive to the state and the federal government or the taxpayer than providing for this place for them to go 3 days a week, which they can interact with their friends and so forth, and it's a much more pleasant experience for them.
On today's program, we're going to hear how one government entity is helping reduce health care costs in Santa Barbara and San Luis Obispo counties.
We have some absolutely incredible, from casual to fine dining in Cayucas. A best pick, oh my gosh, Hoppy's, Cafe Della Via, the Italian restaurant, and also the Cass House has a fabulous four-course meals. But it's all good.
Then we're going to join Tom Wilmer on an exploration of the beach town of Cayucas. And we'll also be joining Krista Hewitt and Stephen DeLuque as they visit a sculptor who works inventively in metal, both precious and otherwise. First, let's join Marisa Waddell in the studio.
My guest today is a man who has his hands in the thick of public health care on the Central Coast. He is the CEO of SanCal Health, which is a public entity. It administers several publicly sponsored health care programs, and its board is selected by the Santa Barbara and San Luis Obispo County Boards of Supervisors. Bob Friedman is with me. Bob, welcome.
Oh, thank you for having me.
First of all, what I'd like you to do is give me a brief overview of what SanCal Health is and what it does in our community.
Okay, well, we are a locally sponsored health plan. We are a public entity, and what we do is we administer health care programs for low-income residents of both Santa Barbara and San Luis Obispo counties. Our main program is the Medi-Cal program, which I'm sure everyone's heard of, but we also do some smaller programs that deal with providing health care to children and pregnant women and their newborns, and basically some smaller programs that all deal with providing access to quality health care for our low-income residents. And we've been around almost 30 years. We started in 1983 as a pilot program. And since that time, what started in Santa Barbara County is now in 14 California counties and counting, and there's also about a million people that are covered under programs like ours within the state. So what started out here on the Central Coast as a demonstration or a pilot has really grown into something very successful statewide.
What kind of community partnerships does SanCal Health have?
The main thing we try and do is provide the same access to health care to low-income residents that everybody else has. So we have contracts with, physicians, both primary care and specialty physicians, all the hospitals in the area, most, if not all, of the pharmacies. Basically, we have the largest provider network, much larger than any commercial health plan that has in the area, and that is really to provide the access to care that our members need to stay healthy and to make sure they get the treatment they need. Because what we're trying to avoid is somebody showing up in the emergency room with a condition that could have been treated much more effectively and at a lower cost if they had seen a physician earlier. The example I always like to use is you'd much rather treat somebody for bronchitis at their doctor's office than for pneumonia in the emergency room. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of our approach is giving access to care to low-income residents. So it's better for everybody, and it's the most efficient way to deliver the care.
And what does SanCal Health do to educate families about health issues?
Well, we have a health education program, and we also have member newsletters, and so we have a lot of different initiatives that help our members know how to eat healthy and to obviously convince them not to smoke, and how the benefits of a good diet and exercise and low blood pressure and things like that. So we have a number of things. We're often at farmers markets where we're given free blood pressure checks, and a lot of it deals with making sure that our doctors also convey to our members where in their doctor's offices ways that they can and should, take care of themselves.
Now, you mentioned that the main thing that SanCal Health does is administer the Medi-Cal program, but you do have other smaller programs, and one of them is the community-based adult services program. I'd like to ask you a little bit more about that. Can you first just tell me what CBAS is?
Sure. You know, what CBAS is it's a program that allows mainly seniors, people that, because of their advanced age or condition, they really can't be left independently all the time, but they also don't need to be watched 24 hours a day like you would find in a skilled nursing facility. So what the CBAS program is, it allows seniors a place to go during the day, a supervised place where they can congregate and interact. But at the same time, if they have medications that need to be taken, they get their medications on time, and it's supervised. And it also provides respite care, because a lot of times these seniors are being taken care of by family who work or have other obligations, and it really provides the caretakers the break they need to go to work or to take care of other things. And most of these the folks, they go 2-3 times a week. I think the biggest benefit of the program is without a CPAS-like program, a lot of these seniors would end up in skilled nursing care, which is 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and clearly much more expensive to the state and the federal government or the taxpayer than providing for this place for them to go 3 days a week, which they can interact with their friends and so forth, and it's a much more pleasant experience for them.
You're listening to Issues and Ideas. I'm Marisa Waddell with you, and my guest is Bob Freeman, who's the CEO of SenCal Health, which is a public entity that administers various public health programs on the Central Coast. And right now we're talking about the community-based adult services program. Tell me, how does someone qualify for the CBAS program?
They have to meet eligibility criteria identified by the state. Unfortunately, it's also based on geography, which is you have to be a resident near the CBAS facility. So while at the moment there's only the one facility, so it really can't impact people too far outside of the Santa Maria area, but we're hopefully in the next couple, 3 years, we'll be able to move forward with it in a much more expanded way.
So you do foresee centers opening up throughout San Luis Obispo and Santa Barbara counties?
We're hoping that there will be interest as the program matures and more of these facilities become aware of it. So there are certainly no guarantees, and I still think it's in its infancy, but we're hopeful that the experience that we're seeing or the positive results we're seeing so far will encourage more facilities to open up.
There certainly is a need as our population is growing older and as the children of older adults are working and need some help. What are the kinds of needs that you see that must be fulfilled by programs like this?
The overriding goal is to only have people in skilled nursing care that absolutely have to be there. And that means you come up with alternatives that allow them to stay out of skilled nursing, whether it's with a family member or on their own, because you have different people have different levels of their advanced age or their limitations. So there are a number of programs. CBAS is one of them. Another one is called the In-Home Supportive Services Program, which is currently run by both Santa Barbara and San Luis Obispo County separately. That provides personal assistance to people. Maybe a senior needs help with their grocery shopping or house cleaning or bathing or getting dressed or something. But something so the assistance seniors need so they can maintain their independence outside of a skilled nursing facility because there's no other safe level of care for them to be at.
Mm-hmm. And where does the funding come from programs like this?
It's coming from the state and the federal government. It's part of the overall Medi-Cal program, but it's fairly new because, again, there's a recognition among both the state and federal governments that they really have to get more creative, talking about how do you keep healthcare costs down and how do you flatten out this slope of increasing costs that we're going to see because, as you said, everyone's getting older and they're going to be more a higher percentage of older Americans in 10 years than there are now. And so there really are getting out of some of the traditional ways of providing this care and looking at ways that kind of blend the healthcare dynamic with the social services dynamic because they are all interchanged or interrelated. So the idea is to, figure out personalize it, the care or the needs of individuals.
It's Issues and Ideas. I'm Marisa Waddell with you, and my guest is Bob Freeman. He's the CEO of SenCal Health. Bob, you had just mentioned keeping healthcare costs down, and I'd like to know what funding challenges SenCal Health has faced with cuts from the federal and the state government, and what you've done to overcome challenges like that.
Well, it's always a challenge because the state and federal governments are all looking at what's called entitlement reform, because they do see both Medi-Cal and, I guess, to a certain extent, Medicare as expenditures that are only going to get higher because, as we've been talking, the population is going to age. You know, our challenge has always been to do more with less. And historically, we've done that. It cost about 20% less to operate the Medi-Cal program with us here than if we weren't, and it was what they call the state's fee-for-service program. I don't know many other state programs that provide Sacramento with a 20% return on their investment, and that's why our programs and programs like ours have expanded, is because we've really been able to maximize taxpayer dollars that not only save the taxpayer money, but also add value to the 105,000 members we serve. I mean, we do provide a lot of support for them in terms of helping them navigate the system, getting them to see their doctors, and getting the care they need. And that benefits all of us because, again, the more they get preventable care and regular care, that means the more healthy they're going to be, and you won't see these, you know, very high-cost patients in the hospital, which often happens if someone lets one or two chronic conditions go untreated. So, you know, we've been historically very successful at being as efficient with the tax dollar as we can, and I think that's going to have to continue, and we're going to have to look for new ways as the healthcare delivery dynamic kind of, you know, it matures and it starts going in directions like more of a social services direction, social support services than we've had before, because we're finding out that's where we need to go to provide people alternatives to being in the traditional care that has, they're driving the healthcare costs.
Mm-hmm. One thing that drives healthcare costs is admission to hospitals, and you have a hospital readmission program. Can you briefly touch on that?
When a patient is discharged from a hospital, they greatly benefit from a follow-up visit to their physician within 48, 72 hours after the discharge, because the physician can not only assess them to how they're doing, but also make sure they're following the hospital's instructions in terms of the medications they need to take or, you know, exercises they need to do and so forth. Because a lot of times someone's readmitted into the hospital because there's a breakdown in the treatment or the care that, you know, their, you know, medications or whatever that they need to take. So getting them into their doctor within, you know, 48, 72 hours is greatly helps in preventing these readmissions. And we've had this program going since January 2012, and we've already seen about a 10% reduction in readmissions to hospitals. Now, some can't be prevented. They're not all preventable. But what we've been able to do is really whittle down those preventable types of readmissions. It makes the healthcare delivery system more efficient, which is it's also the best for the patient.
Something that you are uniquely qualified to do is answer questions about the Affordable Care Act. And I guess what I'd like to do, since we just have a couple of minutes left, I'd like you to tell me some of the most common questions that you hear about the Affordable Care Act.
I think the biggest misconception is that people have is that if they have insurance through their employer or through their spouse's employer, whatever, that somehow they're going to lose that coverage. That is not the case. If you have health coverage through your employer now, you're going to have it next year when the Affordable Care Act gets implemented. So that's the biggest misconception.
Well, thank you so much for joining me today, Bob. I've been speaking with Bob Freeman, who's the CEO of SenCal Health, which is a public entity that administers several publicly sponsored healthcare programs and is serving San Luis Obispo and Santa Barbara County. Bob, thanks for being with us this afternoon.
Are you? Very welcome.
For Issues and Ideas, I'm Marisa Waddell.
You're listening to Issues and Ideas on KCBX. In a few moments, we'll be introducing you to a very inventive metal sculptor. But now, we visit one of our favorite places along the coast.
I'm Tom Wilmer. Right now, we're in Cayucas, California, right by the beach, and we're with Lisa Mankins, the owner of an incredible inn. Tell us the name and where it's located, Lisa.
We are Cayucas Sunset Inn, and we're located in Cayucas, California.
You're not far from the beach, are you?
You can hear the sea life from here.
There's some really unique characteristics of the Sunset Inn, and one is that you're one of the only four diamond inns in the whole county of San Luis Obispo.
Yes, we are. We got that 11 years ago, and when my husband and I first built the inn, that was my goal, and I thought if, you know, we got it, great. Mm-hmm. If we didn't, I'd run it like a four diamond inn, mm-hmm. but we've continued to get that for the last 11 years.
And you don't have much competition in the four diamond in the county, do you? And
no, we're the only one in Cayucas.
The whole county,
there's a couple, yes.
Mm-hmm. So what makes a four diamond? What's so special about the Cayucas Sunset Inn?
The level of service and attention to detail.
Give us a word picture of your rooms and amenities and what somebody would experience here.
Most of our rooms have two-person whirlpool tubs, separate showers. Some have rain shower heads, body washers, king-size beds, fireplace in your living room, your bedroom, a balcony with an ocean view.
And these aren't just rooms. These are suites, aren't they?
Yeah, they're pretty sweet. Most often, people just love them. We have our downstairs room is a smaller room, but the people that just left from today said, oh my gosh, the attention to detail in our room was just so wonderful in the small room without a view. And that is a queen-size bed.
As you know, I've never stayed here, but I've come to see you a zillion times. And I seem to remember the other day a guest checking out and raving about the ocean view. So upstairs, you do have some
incredible views. Yes, we do. We're far enough back from downtown that it's a bit quieter here. And it's just a nice, quiet, wonderful location.
We need to put things in perspective because Cayucas is a tiny little town and it's walkable from one end to the other. So you're really not far from anywhere.
No, we're not. We walk everywhere.
In addition to being a compact, walkable town, a prime attraction of Cayucas has everything to do with outdoor activities, from surfing, kayaking, to stand-up paddling, biking and hiking, and more. Join me as we stop in and talk with Steve Haney at Good Clean Fun.
Hi, Tom. This is Steve from Good Clean Fun.
Steve, tell us about Cayucas as a destination and things to do and see outdoors.
Oh, Cayucas is a wonderland for things to do outdoors. You know, for years, Good Clean Fun has been a part of that, and we've provided the full gamut of outdoor activity around the beach and the water.
Tell us about surfing, kayaking.
We started off as our roots are surfing, and Cayucas has finally kind of come to age as a destination surf spot. From one end of Cayucas to the next, there's probably a dozen different places to surf, all levels, all different styles of surfing, from entry level to advanced. There's something for everybody. Body surfing, you know, the water temperature up here, Tom's pretty cold. There's not a lot of body surfing up here, only for the real brave at heart, or young at heart, or
4 mil, 6 mil,
or whatever. Yeah. Yes, 49 degree water right now.
So tell us about kayaking. That's a fun thing to do here.
Well, kayaking is a wonderland for kayaking. It doesn't get any better than paddling north of Cayucas up in the kelp forest and secluded beaches and tide pooling. Kayak fishing has really taken off. The kelp beds are loaded up here with great species of bottom fish and halibut, ling cod, white sea bass.
And so you can rent a fishing rig?
We do the ocean kayak, and sit-on-top kayaks are the best, though, regardless of what brand it is. It's, you know, the sit-on-top kayak's really what you want to fish out of.
Tell us about other things, bicycle rentals, biking around town.
There's no bike rentals in Cayucas right now, so...
Bring your own.
Bring your own, yeah. The new direction for everybody up and down the coast has been stand-up paddleboarding, SUP. We have rentals. We do a good rental with stand-up paddleboards, and we sell them.
I see them everywhere now.
Again, where we kayak is a great place to explore on a SUP. So, you know, it's all good, clean fun. Oh, there's hiking the north of the town. There's the bluff top trails that are great hiking and tide pooling, beach glass collecting. You know, people come here to go to the beach.
Definitely. Steve, for further information, if somebody wanted to come see your shop or talk to you, where are you located, and a website?
GoodCleanFunUSA.com. And it's got everything there. We have a live cam on our roof. If you want to see what's going on up to the minute with the ocean, we have that. We have a great website. You can book a surfing lesson or, call us. We have an online store. Check it out.
And your brick-and-mortar store right downtown in the heart of Cayucas.
Number 38.
Steve Haney with Good Clean Fun Cayucas. Thank you so much, man. What a pleasure.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Surfing USA.
The little village of Cayucas has an incredible wide array of dining options, from funky walk-up cafes to fine dining cuisine.
We have some absolutely incredible, from casual to fine dining in Cayucas.
A best pick?
A best pick, oh my gosh, Hoppy's Cafe Della Via, the Italian restaurant, and also the Cass House has a fabulous four-course meals. But it's all good. The casual, Riddell's Smokehouse.
Let's go in a little detail on Riddell's.
Riddell's is, it's a walk-in kind of takeout. Well, they've got seats outside, but just very casual. But, you know, they've got a surfer special that you can get two fresh albacore tacos and a drink. Just amazing. The Cass House, go all the way to the other spectrum where you can do fine dining with wine pairing, and completely different, but amazing.
Right now we're at the Cass House with Jensen Lorenzen, the owner, innkeeper, and chef. Let's start out with the history of this place. This is where Cayucas started, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, pretty much the gentleman that founded Cayucas was James Cass, and he built this house in 1857. And this was pretty much the focal point of the town, this house and the pier across the street, which he built for shipping needs from San Francisco and Los Angeles to bring and export dairy into the area.
And I remember for a long time this place was basically abandoned and a derelict.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's gone through a pretty serious restoration process in the past 15 years.
So you guys spent a long time and a lot of money reviving and restoring this place to pristine condition.
Yeah, not me personally, but yes, there was definitely a pretty thorough restoration and a lot of money spent to make it look the way it does now.
So tell us what it is now. This is a wonderful dining venue, but it's also a B&B and a wedding venue, isn't it?
Yeah, so there's a couple facets to our business. Like you mentioned, it's a five-bedroom bed and breakfast. We serve breakfast to our in-guests exclusively, and then we're also open to the public for dinner. It's a small kitchen, small dining room, so it's a small menu. It's all locally sourced. The produce that we use either comes from local markets or we grow it on the grounds here. So we have a pretty extensive garden, which allows us to do outside events like weddings and any type of party, any outdoor events.
Mm-hmm. And your organic mission, is that strong?
Yeah, it's really a focal point. I pretty much only will put something on the menu if I can find it around here. It makes for certain constraints, but I feel that it allows us to improve in other areas that are more difficult for larger establishments,
And guarantees fresh, doesn't it?
It's always fresh. Yeah, absolutely.
Give us a word picture of the type of cuisine.
There's no dishes that I would say stand out more than others because, like I said, there's only a few things on the menu. And it changes so often that it would be hard to say that there's a signature particular dish. I would say, though, that the signature of the restaurant is just the focus on the area. So it does give one a very good sense of what's available in our area.
Give us a sampler.
Tonight I actually have a local grass-fed beef as a main course, and we dry-aged it for 60 days. It had incredible marbling when I got it, so the dry-aging isn't as much for the tenderness factor, but it is to enhance the natural flavor of the beef. It's pretty incredible. We're serving that with greens and onions from the garden. We also have the salad for the evening, or, what would normally be considered the salad. It's just a crudité of garden vegetables. So it's all raw vegetables with raw, accoutrements. So different types of greens and pretty basic vinaigrette. So it really just is I would say the signature of the hallmark of the restaurant is we just try to feature what we have around here entirely.
Very cool. And you want to speak to desserts?
The desserts are one of the more challenging parts of the menu, just because I think a lot of people want to see things like chocolate on the menu. And I get a California chocolate product. It's from Cho in San Francisco. And that's about as close as I could get. So like tonight we're doing a chocolate tart. And it's a ganache filled and chocolate pastry tart. And it's all, we use this particular chocolate for the entire dessert. And then the other type of dessert that we usually do, if it's not a chocolate or a deep kind of profile dish, it's usually something that features local produce. So right now, carrots are really nice. So we're doing a carrot cake with a carrot ice cream and, just different components of carrots.
Nice. Well, we're out of time, but we're going to have to come back. This is a destination story in itself, the historic Cass House.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. I think it is, too.
For further information,
visit our website. It's casshousein.com. That is all the information you could possibly need.
Excellent. Jensen Lorenzen, the owner and chef at the Cass House Inn and Restaurant in Cayucas, thank you.
Thanks for having me.
My pleasure.
They took years remodeling it and trying to keep it to its originality.
Mm-hmm. We're just about out of time. Before we go, 2 seconds on Brown Butter Sugar Cookie Company.
There we go. You bet. That's the other huge attraction is Krista and her sister. They've got the Brown Butter Sugar Company with that great sea salt, and you can't leave town without getting some of those or while you're in town.
We're at the Brown Butter Cookie Company. We're with Krista Hosey. Hi, Krista.
Hi. We started as a gourmet specialty food store. In the gourmet shop, we sold the Brown Butter Sea Salt Cookie, the original flavor, for about, I would say, a year and a half. And customers just had a huge passion for it. So we decided to close down the gourmet shop and start making cookies full time. It's my sister, Tracy, and I. And now we have, you know, when we're in peak season, maybe 40 people on staff helping us hand roll all the cookies.
Incredible. When I first met you, you were in a tiny little shop down at the end of town. Now you're in the heart of town in a big giant building.
Yeah, so we moved to our larger location last summer in June, and now our new facility is about 3 times the size of our initial shop, and we were ready for more space, mm-hmm. That's for sure.
Well, these are truly to die for cookies, and anybody in the Central Coast, if I mention your name or your cookies, it's, oh my God, and there's a secret to your cookies. Tell us the trade secret that makes them so wonderful.
Sure, our customers are, they've told us that they're addicted, and I think we use brown butter, so we take a regular unsalted butter and we brown it on the stovetop. That brown butter really adds a rich, nutty, caramel flavor that you really wouldn't get from any other ingredient. So we use that in our cookie dough, and then everything's done small batch by hand. All the cookies are hand-rolled here in the shop.
There's that other element.
Yeah, when those cookies come out of the oven, we sprinkle a little bit of sea salt on top. So you get the balance of the sweet and salty flavor, and it's a little unique thing that's kind of unexpected.
It really is. The salt is what brings it home and just drops it over the edge.
Yeah, and then I think the brown butter, too. It's kind of a haunting flavor, the sea salt and the brown butter.
Mm-hmm. I got to get out of here.
We're going to send some with you. Don't you worry.
I'm ready. When I first came here, you gave me a little sampler, and then I didn't realize, but my wife was up at the counter, and she bought a bag. And the next day, I thought, oh, I want to try one of those. I came into the kitchen, and there were 2 empty bags.
That happens a lot. We have customers come in, and they buy gifts to take home with them, and then we see them like a couple hours later. They're like, oh, no, we ate our gifts. We have to buy more cookies. So, yeah, and other people hide them from their spouses in the dishwasher, in the closet. And fun to make something that people love so much and that customers have a passion for.
And as I recall, you're shipping to people across the country now.
Yeah, we ship all over the country, and now that we're in our 5th year, we are super grateful. We have customers, in New York that order on a regular basis, or we have customers that come back to us each holiday season, and that's just really a gift, and we really love watching the business grow.
That's so cool. Right here in little old Cayucas.
Oh, who would think? The small town, little quiet beach town, and you walk into this cookie shop and you might see 15, 20 people hand rolling cookies, and it's really unexpected.
That's cool. Krista, we're out of time, but thank you so much for sharing. For further information, I know you have a website.
Yes, it's brownbuttercookies.com.
Excellent. We've been speaking with Krista Hosey. We're at the Brown Butter Cookie Company in downtown Cayucas. All right, we're out of time. Before we go, website, further information about your inn.
We are at www.cayucossunsetinn.com. And our email is info@cayucossunsetinn.com.
Excellent. We've been speaking with Lisa Mankins, the innkeeper and owner of the Sunset Inn. I'm Tom Wilmer, reporting from Cayucas, California.
You're listening to Issues and Ideas on KCBX, listener-supported public radio for the Central Coast, where support comes in part from your computer training center at KCBX.net, bringing affordable computer instruction to the local community. Upcoming computer courses include QuickBooks, Excel, and Word. More information at KCBX.net. Ears on Art, which is next, is sponsored by Marshall's Jewelers, creating and selling fine jewelry since 1889. You can visit them on the corner of Higuera and Garden Streets in downtown San Luis Obispo.